Good morning. I want you to grab your bulletin, pull it out. A couple things I want you to see. If you pull it out, some of y'all are visually kind of you think visually. You got an artistic side to you. You see things. I'm not personally one of those folks, but if you are, I've been told that things make sense to you, particularly art. And so if you'll notice on the cover, the cover that we've been using is an artistic rendition of the Trinity done by our graphic artist, Donnie Harris. You talk about having a difficult time trying to come up with something that captures the Trinity, and I think Donnie did a fantastic job. So I want to make sure that you look at this, because you're going to see the Father, Son, and Spirit in the Trinity, in unity, in this picture. You also see the connection to the human element. And so I just wanted to make you all aware of that. For those of you who are really moved personally and spiritually through visual art, we've got a lot of artists that are part of our church family, and about once a quarter they put together a new art display. It's on the second floor up here, so we encourage you to go by, check that out. And we also have art that's displayed on the first floor down here, but it's a way for you that are kind of visually focused to connect and see how God is expressing himself through the artwork. And so some of you may ignore the message and just meditate on this today, and that will be your worship experience. And that's great if that's how God speaks to you. Also want you to notice that on the front down there, tonight I'm going to be speaking at Greater Mount Zion Baptist Church at 6:30. Got a great relationship. I'm in a covenant group with the pastor there, Galen Clark. It's predominantly an African-American church, and it gives us a chance to connect through both our churches in the city and then also bridging racial issues in our city. So we're going to be there. Our worship team's going to be there. So I'm going to have to bring it a little heavier than what I do on Sunday morning tonight. If you've been in an African-American experience before, but I also know that they're probably going to give me a lot more help than what you guys give me. So, yeah, it kind of works both ways. You kind of get what you give, and you give what you get, okay? So, anyway, I tell you that. My worship team's coming, too, and Pastor Galen has opened the invitation up to our congregation to join with them. And so if that would be a meaningful experience to worship with an African-American congregation, we invite you to come along. I think we're going to have a great time tonight in that. So I want to let you know about that. Grab your outline for this message out of your bulletin while you have it here. You're really going to need your outline this morning for this message. I'll just give you kind of a warning. I walked one of our elders and one of our staff members through this message. And as I kind of laid it out for both of them to hear, I got blank stares from both of them. And they said, "Tim, that doesn't make any sense to me." And I said, "Well, our congregation is a lot more studious. They're biblically literate than you guys, staff and elders. So I think you guys are going to get that this morning, but I want you to really pay attention, because what we're going to be looking at is so significant. It's amazing to me. We've been in this lifestyle fast now for 3 weeks. We're starting our last week. And during this time, we've been setting aside certain things in our lives, activities or attitudes that get in the way of our connection with God. So we've been setting those aside so we can focus on God, focus on our families, focus on our connection with one another. And we've been looking at the Trinity as a model for how we are supposed to relate. Assuming that we're made in the image of God, and that what we understand and what we know about life and relationships comes from God's very image, his very self, then we can learn a lot about our world and how we relate by looking at the Trinity. We discovered very early on in our series that God is a happy God. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit exist in perfect harmony and joy, and before humanity was ever created, before you graced this planet, before anybody graced this planet, before the planet existed, God was ecstatically happy with himself in the Trinity. Father, Son, and Spirit thoroughly enjoying each other. So when you think about God, don't think about God as a God that's primarily dependent on us to make him happy, because he's not. God is a happy God. He's always been, he always will be. Then we looked at the relationships between the Father, Son, and Spirit and came to understand that God is a God of love. That the Father, Son, and Spirit act in loving relationship with each other. And we define love as acting in the good of the other. So the Father acts for the good of the Son acts for the good of the Father, they both act for the good of the Spirit. And in that loving relationship, we come to understand that that's the love that we understand in life comes from the source of love, the Trinity itself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then last week, we went into something that just was kind of mind-blowing. And that's the idea that within the Trinity, authority and submission exist. Now, Father, Son, and Spirit are all equal. They're all fully God. But somehow within that relationship, there's authority and there's submission. And we look at the submission of Jesus Christ to the will of his Father, which didn't make him less God, but he functioned in a submissive way. And we came to understand that if we as individuals do not have the courage and the willpower to submit our will to the people in our lives, we will never have harmony. And we will never have joy. Submission is a critical component to relationship. And so, husbands, wives, children, employers, employees, church members, we have to be willing to set aside some of our agenda, some of our desires, and submit ourselves to the people in our lives if we're ever going to have harmony and we're going to ever have joy. Now, this week, we're going to look at another aspect of the Trinity. The aspect we're going to look at in the Trinity this week is the concept of diversity and unity. In fact, at the bottom of your outline, I've given you the theological statement. That is this: the persons of the Trinity have diversity in roles and unity in purpose. Diversity in roles and unity in purpose. Now, normally when we think in terms of diversity, we think in terms of differences, and what we typically do with that is we try to prove better or worse, superior or inferior, or different agenda. This is important and this is unimportant. That's what we tend to do with diversity. That's a human thing. In the divine nature, we see the Father, Son, and Spirit doing different roles, having different responsibilities, but acting in such unity and concert that they have perfect harmony. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. So open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to start in verse 1. Let me read the section to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols." It's not talking about idiot idols. It's talking about idols that don't speak. Dumb idols. "Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each man just as he determines. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." Now, when you think about that passage we just read, what's interesting to you in the passage? What would you like to discuss this morning? What would you like to look at? What would you like to know about? What would you like to wrestle with? I suspect that some of you immediately go to the whole issue of healing. Like, people have the gifts of healing? What does that look like? Or maybe the gift of tongues. What's that all about, that tongues business? You know, I went to a Holy Ghost, Holy Roller place one time, and they were all speaking in tongues. What's that all about? Some of you may be thinking about this whole baptism of the Spirit. What does that mean, and how does that apply to me? And others of you might be thinking, well, what's this whole thing? Jesus be cursed, and Jesus is Lord, and testing the spirits and all that? Well, we're going to get into all that, because right after Easter, I'm going to start preaching a series on 1 Corinthians, and we're going to cover all those tough issues. But what we're going to look at this morning is the Trinity. So I ask you, can you find the Trinity in this section? Okay, look. Where's the Trinity? What verse does this Trinity start? Where's the discussion of the Trinity? First hour, I actually got it right with the first person who shouted it out. Pressure, pressure, pressure. Verse 4, right? In verses 4, 5, and 6, we see the Trinity. Now, before we discuss anything related to spiritual gifts or the baptism of the Spirit, we need to understand that all of this is rooted in the very essence of the Godhead. It's rooted in the essence of the Trinity. Before we talk about ministry, before we talk about gifts, we need to understand that the Trinity is the focus of everything we're going to know and everything we're going to practice in the whole area of spiritual gifts. So having said that, let's look at verses 4 through 6. He says in verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Well, let's take these and look at them. On your outline, you'll see gifts, but the same Spirit. That's referring to the Holy Spirit. So there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. The word gifts there is referring to supernatural enablement. Supernatural enablement that's been given to each believer by the Holy Spirit. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, Scripture teaches that the Holy Spirit gives you a special supernatural ability. It's not your natural ability. It's beyond your natural ability. It's a supernatural ability. You say, well, what would that look like? Well, he gives a whole list of things here in the passage. To some, it's a gift of wisdom. To others, it's a gift of knowledge. To some, it's a gift of faith. To some, it's a gift of miracles. To others, it's a gift of tongues. He gives these supernatural gifts to people. This is not the only place that Paul talks about it. In Romans chapter 12, he talks about other gifts. He talks about gifts of serving, gifts of leadership and administration, gifts of mercy. In Ephesians 4, there's a description of gifts. In 1 Peter 4, there's a description of gifts. And in fact, all through the New Testament, this concept that each of us has been given a special supernatural ability by God is clearly taught through the Bible. Now notice it says that through the Spirit, each of us have been given different kinds of gifts. In other words, some of us in this room are going to have different gifts than other people in this room. They're not all going to be the same. Some of you have the gift of mercy. And having the gift of mercy, you just are all about people. Your compassion meter is off the charts. Anytime a tear falls to the ground, your heart breaks. So you're constantly thinking about people. Others of you in the room have been given the gift of administration. You think in terms of organization and rules and boxes and putting people in various places. And, you know, if a tear falls in the room, you think about how do we get this mopped up and get moving on because we've got stuff to do. And that's why those of you who have the gift of organization or administration, like you're sitting in the worship center at 10:45 and you're on time. And you're looking around. And you're wondering where everybody else is. And you know that those people that have the gift of mercy, they're out in the parking lot. And they're saying, oh, you take this spot. You know, you take this spot. Oh, I don't want that spot. You take this spot. I'll just keep driving around here until everybody finds a place because I don't want anybody to feel left out. And that's why you're getting in here late. Because, you know, you want to make sure everybody's taken care of. Different kinds of gifts. But they're all given by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And so when we look across this room, everybody in here who's placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have a supernatural ability that's been given to you through the Holy Spirit to function or to use in this life. Now the passage goes on to say that in addition to different kinds of gifts, there's also different kinds of service. And those different kinds of service are given from the same Lord. Now, the word Lord there refers to Jesus Christ. It refers to Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. Now we have Jesus Christ. You say, how do you know that that's referring to Jesus Christ? Look back at verse 3. It says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord is used frequently by Paul throughout his writings to refer to Jesus Christ. And it says that there are different kinds of service, or oftentimes we translate this word ministry. There are different kinds of ministries given by the same Lord, Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? Well, a ministry refers to the application of our gifts or the actual doing part of it. And so you might have the gift of administration, but what you do is you work in children's ministry and you keep track of all the kids that are coming in and, you know, how many goldfish each one of them got and, you know, whether they all went away with the right caloric intake and you know the kids who have food allergies, so you got their special stuff mapped out and you've got all that figured out because your ministry is children. Your gift is administration. And he says there are myriads of ministries that people are involved in. Some are involved in one-to-one discipleship. Some of them are involved in leading small groups. Some of them are involved in music and worship. Some of them are involved in community outreach. Some of them are involved in missions. Jesus Christ is the one who gives us the ministry that we do, or what we do, what we perform. Now there's a third category here. And the third category says in verse 7, it says, or verse 6, there are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them in all men. This workings refers to something that is a gift from God the Father. So we have spiritual gifts by the Spirit. We have service or ministry given by Jesus. We have these workings given by God the Father. Now, the word working literally means kind of the outworking or the result of the ministry. And what this passage is saying is that God is the one who gives the power to the ministry in order to produce the result. So the outcome of spiritual ministry is not based on our abilities. It's based on the God who's working through our gifts, our time, and our ministries to ensure that what gets done or what is produced out there is certain results. Now here's the interesting thing. He says there are different kinds of results. Different kinds of results that are produced in different people. In other words, one man may say, I believe that I have the gift of pastor-teacher, and God's calling me to start a church. And so he goes out and starts a church, and he begins to labor hard within that church ministry. Another man has identical gifting, and he believes God's calling him to start a church, so he goes out and he starts a church. Now, the first man, after 5 years of ministry, has 350 people that are in his church. And he's working for the Lord. Who produced the results? It's God who's doing the work. Another man has 3,000 people in his church. Who produced the results? It's God who produces the results. In other words, this guy is not better. This guy is not better. This guy's not worse. We tend to like evaluate people. We see the outcome of the ministry. We say, wow, that guy's really gifted. That guy's really good. That woman, boy, she's great. That's the wrong focus. He's saying that God produces the result. So you may be engaged in a ministry and see very little evidence. But that evidence is inspired and produced by God. You may be in a ministry and you're seeing lots and lots of evidence. But understand that the work, the result, the product, is what God does. It's not what you do. It's what God does through the ministry. Now, I find this to be phenomenal because what this passage is telling us is that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, all three are involved in working together to ensure that every believer has special ability, has a ministry, and has results. Some of us think that God is only involved in making sure that we have salvation, that we get to go to heaven. And this passage is telling us that the Father, Son, and Spirit, all three are participating in making sure that in this life we do something that has a kingdom impact. In other words, it's not simply getting us into the kingdom when we die, it's making us part of the kingdom while we live. And the Father, Son, and Spirit are all three involved in that. Now, here's my question. And this is where I started losing people. So, you know, we're halfway through the message. Those of you who stayed up too late last night may have a little trouble now. So tune in. Okay, tune back in. Here's my question. Is there any reason why the Spirit does spiritual gifts? Is there any reason why the Son does ministry or service? Is there any reason why the Father does results? Well, let's think about this. As we begin to think about this, go back to your outline there. Look at our first point, the gifts by the same Spirit. What is the role of the Holy Spirit? What's the Holy Spirit's job? The Holy Spirit's job, I put it in there for you so you could see it. The job of the Holy Spirit is to bring the blessings of the Trinity to you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit takes from the Father, takes from the Son, and He brings them in application to you. Let me give you a passage of Scripture. I'll put it up here so you can see it. You can write it down, look it up later. In John chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, here's what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. He says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me." How? Look carefully. "By taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. Therefore, everything that belongs to Jesus and the Father, all that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is Mine and make it known to you." So what is the role of the Spirit? The role of the Spirit in the Trinity is to take the blessings from the Trinity and bring them down and give them to us and apply them in our lives. I could take you to other passages where we see other things that the Spirit brings to us, like saving faith. The Spirit brings the saving faith and quickens us so that we can have a relationship with God. The Spirit brings enlightenment. He brings the truth of God and He brings it to us. In Romans chapter 8, it says the Spirit prays on our behalf so that the will of God, God's good will, could be worked out in our life. So the role of the Spirit is to bring us, can we just say, gifts from the Father? Bring us gifts? So it isn't any wonder that the Spirit would be the one who brings spiritual gifts, because the Spirit is doing what the Spirit does. That's His role. And He's performing that role. And that's how we understand it. Secondly, with Jesus, what's Jesus' role in the Trinity? Jesus' role in the Trinity, I put it on your outline there, is to carry out the work of the Trinity for us. Jesus Christ was the one who did the job, right? Somebody needed to come to earth. Jesus did it. Somebody needed to go to the cross. Jesus did it. Jesus Christ is the one that actually executes or does the work. In fact, Mark chapter 10, verse 45, I'll put it up there so you can see it. It says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be" what? "To be served." Same word that's used here, same kind of service. "To be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." Jesus Christ is in the business of producing or doing the work. And so it only makes sense that Jesus Christ would be the one who gives us the work to do, or the ministry or the service that we're supposed to be doing. In other words, Jesus Christ is fulfilling His role by giving us a job to do, called our ministry. Same thing with the Father. Look what we have here on the outline for the Father. The Father ensures the success of the plan through His power. What's God's job? God's sovereign. What does the sovereign do? The sovereign makes sure that the outcome is what He wants it to be. And so God's job is to empower us so that what gets produced is what He wants to be produced, so that His kingdom can advance. So God is actually doing His job when He's doing His working in our lives and through our ministry so that it gets executed. To me, maybe I've been spending too much time in the theology books, but to me, this is just mind-boggling. We've got the Spirit doing what the Spirit does. We've got the Son doing what the Son does. We've got the Father doing what the Father does. And they're all doing it in concert with each other so that each of us, as different as we are, with different gifts and different ministries, with different results, that we all come together to produce what the kingdom is supposed to be producing. That's what He says in verse 7. Look at verse 7. He says in verse 7, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Got a little typo on your outline. It's supposed to be "different for the common good." Not God. Good. Makes a little difference, right? different for the common good. All of these different things that have been given not to create division or diversity within us, but to create unity as we each do our different roles. How many of you saw the movie Drumline? Y'all see that movie? One of those very inspiring movies about this guy, Devin Miles, who grew up in Harlem, became a great percussionist playing on the streets, but then he gets invited, scholarshiped, to come to Atlanta A&T University to play in their marching band. And the journey from the undisciplined performer to being part of that incredibly tight band is an incredible journey. It's one of diversity and unity. I want you to see a little bit from that. Let's watch it together.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to music. Good morning and welcome to Atlanta A&T University Marching Band Training. The next 2 weeks will be your introduction and possibly induction into a great marching band legacy. If you're here, it's because you believe in musicianship. If you're here, it's because you believe in Coltrane, Miles Davis, Stevie Wonder, and the elements known as earth, wind, and fire. If you are here, it is because you have a fervent, unequivocal belief in teamwork. And if you wish to remain here, you better start believing in being on time. You. Who is your roommate?
Devin. Miles. Sir.
Eyes front.
Sup, Dr. Lee?
It's all good, Mr. Miles. Glad to have you here.
Thank you, sir.
Why was he late?
Guess he overslept.
Well, why didn't you wake him?
I'm not his mother, sir.
I asked Mr. Miles why his roommate was late. He says he guesses he overslept. I asked, why didn't you wake him? And he says he is not his mother. Section leaders, what is our concept?
One band, one sound.
One band, one sound. When one of us is late, we are all late. When one of us looks or sounds bad, we all look and sound bad. So what's the concept?
One band, one band, one sound.
Now I want 10 laps from all those who are not their roommate's mama. Don't whine. And while you're jogging around the field, let the robust composition of the Saints Come Marching In blow through your mind.
When the Saints
people, people, run, don't walk. Use the bad sense, not the common sense.
When the Saints come marching in.
Trumpets are the voice of the band. We are the melody, we are the clarity.
Tubas are the most important section in this band, boy. Tubas are the boom.
Saxophones are the truth, the funk, and the hook. See what they hear us.
We are the heart and the soul. Without the percussion section, the band doesn't move, doesn't come alive. We are the pulse. Without a pulse, you're dead. That's why we're the most important section of this band.
All right, band, get me.
That's such a great picture. You got each of these section leaders that understand the vital importance of their part. And so you got the saxophone section, and they're saying, you know, we are the truth, we are the funk, we are the hook. What's a band without saxophone? You got the tuba guys that are saying, we're the boom. You got the trumpet saying, we are the melody. You got the percussion section saying, we are the pulse. And each one of those values their own contribution and really enjoys what they can bring to the table. But at the end of the day, one band, one sound. And in the Trinity, we see the same thing. The Son is ecstatically happy being the Son and playing His critical role. What would the Trinity be without the Son? And the Spirit is incredibly happy and so free and so enjoys playing His particular role. What would the Trinity be without the Spirit? And we could say the same for the Father. What would the Trinity be without the Father? And yet, they don't see their differences. They see their unity. They don't see the distinctions. They see their common purpose and they work together to do incredible things. That's the truth. Let's look at the application really quickly. Two principles of application as we wrap up here. The first one is your contribution to the kingdom is a gift from the Trinity. Your contribution to the kingdom is a gift from the Trinity. You have different gifts, different ministries, different results, but the Trinity itself, Father, Son, and Spirit, have each played a role in gifting you, giving you ministry, and working through you for results. And so I would say to you, if you are not using your gifts in ministry for the good of other people, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? If you look at what this thing called the church is, simply from a human standpoint, that's about getting enough people to rock babies, it's enough getting enough people to park cars, it's enough getting people to do discipleship, it's about getting enough people to pay the bills. If that's what your view of the church is, you are missing it. By nature of the Trinity, God has created supernatural abilities and ministries and results through you. You have a kingdom contribution to make. Do not sit on the sidelines. And once you get involved in really serving Jesus Christ and ministering your gift, second principle is so critical, and that's this. Your service ought to mirror the unity of the Trinity. Your service ought to mirror the unity of the Trinity. In other words, how we do this thing called ministry, how we work together as a church, we ought to look at the relationships between the Father, Son, and Spirit as a model for how this thing ought to work. Let me give you a couple thoughts on that. First of all, there should be no jealousy. There should be no jealousy. Can you imagine the Son saying, hey, Father, I'm really jealous of you. You know, you get to stay in heaven where I have to go down here and do all the work. I'm really jealous of you. I just think this is unfair. But we do this in the church all the time. We're thinking, she gets to sing up front. She gets all the glory. Just look at that smirk on her face. She must think she's really hot stuff. She's not authentic. I wish I could sing. I can't sing. Why can't I sing? God, what'd you do here? We get jealous of other people's gifts. We get jealous of other people's results. We get jealous of other people's ministries. We should never be jealous. We should be thankful to God for what He's doing in our life and enjoy that. In addition to no jealousy, there should be no turf wars. There should be no turf wars. Can you imagine? I mean, a conversation in heaven. The Spirit and the Son sit down with the Father and say, we got a dispute that got to be settled here. The Spirit's mad because the Son is getting too big of a piece of the budget. I mean, you know, Jesus is going to build the church. That's His job. He's getting a bigger budget for building the church than what I as the Spirit am getting to create spiritual gift inventories, you know, so people can learn their spiritual gifts and figure out what they're... He's getting a bigger budget than me. And that's not fair. I want more. And yet we have turf wars in the church all the time. All the time. People saying, well, my ministry doesn't get enough press, or I don't get enough publicity, or I don't get enough upfront time, or I don't get enough money, or I don't get enough respect, or whatever. There should never be conflict over turf. Because as a unit, working in unity. We got different roles, different responsibilities. But at the end of the day, to glorify Jesus Christ and move the mission forward is what Jesus is calling us to do. And that's what happens in the Trinity. So our two negatives, no jealousy and no turf wars. Let me give you two positives. Positive is great teamwork. We ought to see great teamwork. Within the Trinity, you see the Father playing His role, not just in salvation, but also even empowering ministry. Son playing His role, the Spirit playing His role. There's an incredible team atmosphere, teamwork. That's the way it ought to be in the church. How does teamwork look? I gave you three words on your outline there. The first one is dependency. A recognition that I need you and you need me. You know, I think about when my kids were younger and they were growing up, one of the ministries in our church that I loved so much that I depended on was the Awana ministry, which is so key in teaching children what Scripture is, helping them memorize Scripture. And even though oftentimes on Sunday afternoon, kids were complaining about having to memorize their Scripture, they were getting the Word of God put into their heart. And as a parent, I needed that team. I was dependent on them. They are important for me. We need each other. That's what teamwork means. I need you. You need me. In addition to that, we need to communicate. Good teams communicate. The Father, Son, and the Spirit are constantly communicating. We see that all through the Gospels, where Jesus and the Father are talking to each other. We've got to talk if we're going to be a good team. And so whenever there's something that you don't understand, whenever there's a conflict, rather than assuming the worst, assume the need to communicate. Communication. And finally, value. The Father and the Son and the Spirit value each other. Do we value the gifts that one another bring? Oftentimes we value the gifts that minister to us or the ones that we like or the ones that we have. Do you value the other ministries of the body? We need to value. And that way we have great teamwork. And finally, when we mirror the unity of the Trinity, we have great enjoyment. We have great enjoyment. If of all the things that we've seen in our study of the Trinity, one of the things we've seen over and over again is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are having a blast together doing what they do. They are thoroughly enjoying it. Well, why shouldn't they? They're always acting on behalf of each other. They're taking responsibility for their roles. They're working as a team. They're doing creative things. They're doing supernatural things. Why wouldn't they enjoy their work? And that's what the Church of Jesus Christ ought to look like. A group of people that understand you've been empowered by the Trinity for supernatural work, and then you've been added to a team where without your contribution, something is missing. We need each other, diversity, and yet we're working together for the common good. We're all working together on the same page. You see, when you look at the Trinity, you see two things. One is the Trinity cares about my life. Father, Son, and Spirit are involved in getting me connected to a source of power so I can do something with my life. And secondly, the way I do it with other people is just like the Trinity. And that's our challenge and our opportunity. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we recognize that as individuals, we get wrapped up in myopic thinking, small thinking. We see our world and our world alone. Father, I pray that our understanding of your greatness, who you are, Father, Son, and Spirit, that that would give us a picture that would guide our lives and our service and our church to a new paradigm of embracing you. Father, we know that that only can happen when we submit our hearts to you, when we look to you, when we rely on you. Father, we offer our hearts to you right now in a testimony of our commitment and submission to you.